casino chips. How many do you have? Have you been looking around to see how many other people have? Charles Dickens stated Copperfield as to my father's recipe for happiness. Annual income, £20. Annual expenditure, 19.19 and 6. Result, happiness. Annual income, £20. Annual expenditure, £20, often 6. Result, misery. All about your expectations and comparisons. Comparisons are odious. By Shakespeare's time, this was enough of a cliche that in Much Ado About Nothing, he made a pun. Comparisons are odorous, assuming that the audience would get it without any further explanation. We moderns aren't so crude, are we? We don't do that. Hangover position, keep score of who's ahead and who's behind, who has more chips. I worked in an office in downtown Minneapolis in a high-rise building. At a lunch place in the Skyway one day, I overheard two businessmen talking. They looked middle-aged, middle management, the kind you have offices with doors that are shut, dressed in nice suits. And one was complaining about someone else had just gotten a really nice wooden waste paper basket. Yeah, you heard right. Voice paper basket, and the executive voice paper basket. And the guy I overheard was complaining because he didn't get an executive voice paper basket. See, he thought there was favoritism going on. The boss liked the other guy better. The boss thought the other guy was more important. It was perfectly clear to him from the waste basket that his value was not recognized. We do pay attention to these things, don't we? Who's getting more time, more attention, more awards, more money? And also, who isn't somebody who'd be on air with? Because they're not important enough? Because they don't have social standing, don't have social skills? Bottom line, because they can't really benefit us in any way. And because they aren't people like us. Again, in our gospel today, Jesus is doing stuff he ought me to do. In a shame honor culture like that of the ancient world, your place is really important. Matter of fact, the place is essential, is all you have. Humility was considered a vice, not a virtue, in Greek culture. Christians were very peculiar that way. They followed Jesus' example and everybody thought they were nuts. And Jesus says, stop inviting just your friends, those of your social strata, those with whom you agree. But invite the marginalized, the poor, the lame, the disabled, the blind. You know, those folks you don't want to be seen with because they can't benefit us. Those folks who can't advance our social standing. The folks who are really different from us. Now, banquets were where the guys all, and there's always guys, talked philosophy and other important things, and usually drank a lot. Plato even has a book, Symposium, and it's all about the philosophy of guys do while they drink themselves silly. It's just how things were done. Now, Luke shows Jesus as a philosopher at table at a banquet, or at least a Sunday dinner, a Sabbath dinner, Saturday, I should say. And the Pharisees are acting like hypocrites because they invite Jesus in order to entrap him out of the view of the crowds, in order to show him up in front of the social strata that mattered. See, you only invited people who could do something for you or who you wanted to have owe you something. Jesus' advice about where you sit at the table looks like common sense kind of Emily Post manners, but it's really a slap in the face. The host in this situation could be presumed to have manners. I mean, this kind of thing shows up in some of our wisdom literature and proverbs. matters of the day are we addressing. Jesus has a new sense. Why you do it is new. Not merely matters or permitting a favor. You do it. You invite those who can't benefit you. Because this is the kind of hospitality God cares about. Now in this honor, shame, or collecting chips discussion, it's a paradox of human nature that we often hear something other than what we ought to or need to hear. In discussions of humility, by the way, that word humility comes from humus, soil, dirt, where you grow things, good, honest earth. Sometimes people take humility to mean some sort of non-realistic view of themselves. They turn it into a competition to be the least, to be the last. Clergy who have some experience with sacramental confession, I usually encounter this. The folks who feel that their sin is so great that they doubt whether even God can forgive it. See, if they're going to be a sinner, they're going to be great at it. They're going to be the best sinner ever. Better than even God's ability to forgive. That's not humility at all. One thing is not realistic. Other times people see themselves as humble. Now, they're not really very humble at all. They may be self-deprecating. But you know, everybody hears about their good deeds. And sometimes they lack the part of humility. But they can't hold a grudge if it's not recognized promptly if they're not invited up to a higher place at the table pretty quick. It can play out with regard to generosity of time and money as well. The sense of what's in it for me. Keeping score, counting chips. Also note that Jesus didn't tell the Pharisees to have their people do it, although the servants and slaves would have done most of the work. Now Jesus told them to do it, to be involved, personally. What we tell ourselves we don't like or can't do or are comfortable with may actually be the very things that we're called to do. One of those really difficult things to do is to have FaceTime with those who make us so uncomfortable. FaceTime with subjects and people who aren't like us. Genuine interaction is a package to event where we can stay at arm's length. Notice also that in our gospel, Jesus says, when you have an anger. Not if, when. This is supposed to be a way of life. In Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, he writes, consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. So clearly, some of the folks he was writing to were powerful, noble, rich, whatever, privileged. But later on, in the 11th chapter, he has to write scolding them. When you come together, it is not really to eat or supper. And when the time comes to eat, each of you goes to handle his own supper. And one goes hungry and another becomes drunk. What, do you not have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you show contempt for the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? Those social distinctions, maintaining status and separation at another's expense, are not okay with Paul. Because that's not how Jesus did it. Because this is the kind of hospitality that God cares about. No status, no keeping score, no counting chips. Now, this table, this banquet, is a foretaste of that heavenly banquet prepared for us from the foundation of the world. To this table, this banquet, we are called. We are invited. Week by week, season by season. And we cannot reciprocate. Since everything we have to give, all we are and all we have, is given to us. As we sometimes say in the Eucharistic prayer, we present to you from the gifts you have given us, this bread and we want this wine, and ourselves, our souls, and bodies. As St. Augustine said, it was God to receive communion, to receive the body of Christ. Be what you are, that your amen may be true.